the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He's the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus Breeze, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody. I said one, two,
everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Hey. Now, let's start the show.
Not a bad idea, Elgin. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. People on Facebook Live got to see us for a little bit. If you want to do that, go to my page. Mondays and Tuesdays around 5:30, 5:45, something like that. And we started on Facebook Live, and you can go to our fan page on Facebook, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and watch us. Some of you have just been listening to us like, I wonder what they look like. Well, you could, especially on a day like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because of you, you dummy. Shut up.
Oh, okay.
And but Danny the Jew is with me today.
Shalom.
And special guest, local comedian and fellow Jewish person, Jewish woman.
I just don't know if that's part of the intro.
All right. Well, I'm just,
I'll
just
take saying. It.
But
mean,
no manner.
Hello.
Yeah, and, you know, sex, a good-looking Jew.
Yeah. I know, you know? Finally, right?
And, you know.
Finally.
I mean, the best one in this room. No offense.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's like being the tallest midget.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Anyway, welcome to the show. You've been here before, though.
I have, yeah. I think this is my third time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, good.
It's always interesting. It's always informative.
Last time you wore a dress.
I did. Was I supposed to? Was this a disappointment?
I didn't want to seem like a pervert.
It was like 7 years ago.
There's a dress code.
Dougie's like, it was a purple dress. It had a...
No, it was dark. She wears black. You wear a lot of black.
I actually weirdly don't. It's just a coincidence.
Really? You don't wear a lot of black?
I don't wear a lot of black.
Hmm.
No, I don't. I don't own a lot of black.
Hmm. All right.
Show's getting very racial.
Well, look at we all black wearing black today.
Well, you guys are like matching.
I always wear black here because one time I wore red and boy.
Yeah, it looked like the Kool-Aid man coming into the side.
I mean, they say the camera adds 10 pounds and there's 7 cameras on us right now. So.
Yeah.
it adds up, right?
Yeah,
big
exactly.
Dude. Yeah, no, listen, I like it. Although, you know, I got some great photos from the World Series of Comedy. Got a new headshot. You see the headshot?
Dude, that's worth those. I mean, that's
right
like there. $175. Yeah. You won $175.
I got to do it free. I got to get the headshot free.
Exactly.
And it's up to date. It's new. It's my face.
If anything, you're the winner of that.
Right? That's what
I'll
I'm going to look
it.
At it. And I got a bunch of good stage shots.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we were talking about this the other day. Like somebody says, if I want to start working, what should I do? And I said, well, I hate to ask you, but do you got a website yet?
I know.
No. Okay, that's cool. You got a business card? No. Okay. You got a fucking headshot? No. I mean, dude, you know, I mean, sometimes I had somebody send me, they wanted to be on the gig, and they sent me a videotape of them in front of their curtain doing a few jokes and a picture of them in front of that curtain as their headshot. Oh. I go, dude, what do you think this is, the fucking Little Rascals, our gang club? What do you think you're performing, you know?
I think people don't realize there's a difference between the like going out on a Tuesday and I'm going to go out tonight and I'm going to do a set and it's awesome and it's the opportunity, but like it's different when you're going to do an actual show. Like there's a difference between a mic and a
book show.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta be a little professional.
Do you guys videotape all your sets?
I haven't, but I did when I was in Myrtle Beach. I videotaped every set. I'm trying to get a good 2.5-3 minutes for America's Got Talent.
Yeah, I
send it in.
I wasn't. And I am now, though. I am.
Because I'm always worried that the one set I start to tape is like going to be the one where I just eat shit.
Right. But you know what? I did that. I was saying that, too. And you know what my wife said to me? She goes, so don't post that one. She's like, you're filming it.
But you don't think it's not just about posting it. It's about having to watch it or like knowing that proof of it exists.
Well, you know what happens to a videotape that turns out to be a shitty set? It's deleted.
Right.
You know, you don't. Now you're gonna watch that and you're gonna go, what part of that shit was your part?
Right.
You know, you're gonna be like, what could I have done?
Well, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna think, wow, should I continue living? I mean, this is.
All right. Well, Okay. So first, we got to examine how we're gonna take it. I mean, that's a whole other. You got to take it for what it's worth. That's what I started doing. I hate watching myself. I hate listening to. So you listen to it once, but also if you like what Dougie said, if you get off stage and it was just shitty from the beginning, so you don't even have to listen to that one.
The Late Show on Saturday at Comedy Cabana this weekend in Myrtle Beach, I taped the first, and I had the MC go, hey everybody, by the matter of fact, the next comedian, your feature comedian coming to the stage, I told him to say the first 5 minutes of his set, he's taping for an audition for America's Got Talent, but he said he's taping tonight's set for America's Got Talent. So we're like, oh, that's great, you know. And Saturday show is great. The only problem is I kind of muffed my parasail joke. The wording was a little off on it. But the second show, you know, we're into it, and I'm into it, and the horrible, like, the crowd was just like, you know, and then I said fuck or something. I said, then the guy says, oh, that's going to be on my, nah, I already cut. You guys are so horrible. There's no way I'll use this tape.
This is on you guys.
Yeah, right. No offense, everybody, but you guys were not what we were hoping for.
Where if you tell people that you're filming for something like that, they're going to laugh so loud because they want to hear their laugh.
You would hope.
On TV.
That was funny. This is John Smith.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the third row. Look at me. Yeah, well, people did that. People would do that like concerts. Like when they were video, like Ozzy, you know, the bands would record a live album. You'd hear somebody go in the back going, I fuck Susan Clarkson. You know, did you hear that? Yeah, a guy fucked Susan Clarkson.
Sorry, Susan.
Sorry, Susan.
Sorry, Sue.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. But my dad was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in Israel, and I think I was 10 or 12 years old, so I wasn't allowed to be in the main audience. I had to be like in the side audience, and when they were bringing him in, everyone's clapping, and as soon as they stopped, I was like, just kept on clapping. And now every time I watch that video, I was like, oh, those You're three claps, that's me. That's me.
So your dad was in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in Israel.
In Israel, yeah.
So what's that? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That would be Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in Brooklyn, maybe.
This is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Aren't they all millionaires? Don't we own the banks? It's the Jews.
We just share it amongst ourselves.
So that is it much different than the American version?
Not really. I mean, it's in shekels. So
I totally was going to say shekels, and I didn't remember if that was actually what it's called, because it sounds like a fake word.
It sounds offensive, right?
Just sounds like a made up word, like, you know, like you babbled something, like
shekels.
Like,
it sounds like just a Yiddish word, like the shmegeg. Like, no, it's the currency.
There are a lot of words in Hebrew that sound like made up words in English.
Yeah, Jewish language.
Okay. I just feel like it's an odd language, the Jewish language. You're right. It's very phlegmy. That's how it comes out.
Yeah,
it's not a sexy language at all. But are you talking about Yiddish or? Because I mean both. But
Yiddish
or Hebrew?
Well, Hebrew is phlegmy, but Yiddish is not even. Do you even know what that is?
It's like
if
German,
I say Yiddish,
almost.
Yiddish to me.
Right. So aside from that, it's basically like Jewish? A made up language that my grandparents used. Like when they moved here, it's like German and Polish and all these different.
Right.
And
it's a mishmash and Hebrew and.
Yeah.
But they didn't teach anybody. Like, so they used it to talk to their. My grandmother used to say they used it to talk about their kids in front of their kids without them knowing.
Right.
So the language literally, like, my grandmother died a few years ago, 95. Like when her generation dies, it's gone. Nobody knows it. I know one thing, and again, it's the least.
It's not universal.
No, not at all. It's
Jewish. I mean, so amongst like Jews in Germany, Jews in Poland, they all spoke it.
Let me get you closer to that mic. Thank you.
How's that? So Jews in Germany, Jews in Poland, they all spoke it, but it died basically with Israel because they started speaking just modern day Hebrew.
So in other words, it was like a slang. It was almost like a jive.
Like a,
you know, like it was like
it was like Latin for Jews.
Yeah, like pig Latin. Yeah. Pig Latin. That's what it used to. Right. Yeah. That's what I always equated it to.
That's what Yiddish is.
Yeah.
I would never know that.
But some words like kind of found their way into English. Like a lot of like schlep and meshugana. Like meshugana. That's Yiddish.
What's a meshugana?
It's a crazy person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I know what schwatze is.
Schwatze.
Or schwitzing.
I'm schwitzing and sweating.
I'm schwitzing. That's Yiddish.
That's a word I know, obviously.
Yeah,
that's for clamped. Fakakta. Ooh, fakakta. I love that
fakakta?
One. Fakakta?
See, fakakta's more, it's fucked up. It means fucked up. It's
just
a nice
or like shitty. Like, oh, this fakakta mic doesn't work.
I love that the one word the non-Jewish guy knows is schwatzer, which is super, like,
it's super like, racist.
It's the N-word.
Essentially, but it also means, because
it's like the Italian equivalent of Moulinon.
Yes, yes.
Kind of. But also, like, I was born, my mom's side was, like, Polish, so they're all, like, blonde, blue-eyed.
Right.
And I was born, and my great-grandma was like, what is the schwarze baby? Because I was so, like, black hair and, like, tan.
Plus,
And you came out and said, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. Plus, her grandmother's super racist, but aside from
but
that.
But that's besides the point.
What grandmother isn't at this point? You know what I mean? Like, think about the day and age. Like, we were talking about, like, the progress of things. You know, like, you know, things are, you would hope that things are much better today than they are 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
When you think like equality and the way things are, I mean, it's not perfect, but we're striving towards it, right? That's the thing that, you know, I think we've been forget people, fuck America, this place. Yeah, all right, well, go fucking live. Why don't you go live in Europe somewhere for a little while? Everybody talks about Norway. Like, look at that. That's a socialistic government. When you're born in Norway, the country of Norway is so rich in its own natural resources that when you're born and you're born a citizen of Norway, you wake up every year making 40, 50,000 a year.
Right, but there's
you basically get a pension from your government, yeah, so you can afford. You know, I don't give a fuck. I'm paying 50% taxes and shit. You know, but people say, "Oh, well, that's why we need socialism." We don't have that kind of fucking.
Wait, hold on, there's 8 million people in Norway. Right. I mean, you gotta.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to slow down. With yeah. I heard somebody talk.
Right, I don't want
to
get you off. All right, sorry. I don't want to get you
you're
off
right.
track.
No, you're right.
He's getting started.
I know.
We got to focus today. The
you
first thing,
the caravan up, and
we were talking about before the cameras went fucking up on us. You were talking about the importance of videotaping and stuff.
Oh yeah,
the comedy, right?
Oh yes, yes.
So I definitely do it. Videotape everything. Yeah. Watch everything, and be very critical of yourself. You know what I mean? I mean, nothing's going to be better than that.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
You know, like, I watch certain things, and I'm like, God damn it. You know, like, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know what I mean? But then everybody's got to, you got to have a video. If you're a comic and you're looking for MC work, you got to have at least a 5-minute video and a 10 or 15 minute video. Yeah. If you're a feature, you're looking for feature work, you got to have a good 5-minute video, maybe a 7 to 10 minute video, and you have to have a 25, 30 minute set to send somebody.
I agree.
Right? And yep. If you want a headline, guess what? You need a 5, a 7, a 14, a 45. Go fuck yourself. You probably don't need to listen to me if you're already a headliner.
Right.
you know what I mean? If you're a headliner, right, don't listen to me. You know, what am I going to tell you at this point? It's like, I won't mention anybody's names like Fozzle, but I love when people get on Facebook. You know what I mean?
My wife asked me, giving
advice like they're fucking Zig Ziglar.
My wife, sure.
You know, or fucking Tony Robbins.
My wife, because she knows how much those annoy me that he gives those. She sends them to me because we're not socialized on that thing. So, but my wife sends it to me laughing because she's like, I don't get it.
Yeah. God bless. I mean, listen, you got to love the kids.
Hey, everybody's
it's
trying.
It's all beautiful. But listen, if you're going to do that kind of, Fozzle's a local comic. He does grooms. He's got a lot. He's working. He's busting his ass, the kid. In all fairness, he's a great kid. Great super dude in that sense. But, you know, it's funny when, you know, a guy puts a thing on there, goes, people ask me how I write comedy. I'm like, no, I never asked you. I never asked you how to fuck you.
But
you know
also,
what I mean?
Dougie, aside from, like, a couple kids, you know, a couple young comics who might come up to you and say, hey, Dougie, you know, how do I get started? Nobody's asking you. Nobody's asking anybody how they write.
Yeah, when people start that on their post. People keep asking me. You know.
Well, I noticed, like, there's a trend where people, like, have the same starter for their sentences or even their sets every once in a while. It just starts the same.
Yeah.
But you know what I did notice recently? There was, again, I'm not going to name names, but there was someone who was doing, it's a newer comic, and they were doing a show, and it was basically an impersonation of a very famous comic.
Oh, no.
It's like, you know, the material was similar, but, like, the voice and the mannerisms and like the person voice changed
right
from off stage to on stage to being the other comic's voice, and it was like, are people seeing this? Like, is anybody
so here's a comic that when you spoke to him off stage speaks a certain way, but then when he goes on stage he's mimicking some other comic that a famous comic. I know,
like,
who you're talking about, by the way, already.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. I don't want you to mention it because you mentioned it now.
Yeah.
But I noticed that because I noticed right away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, and I think this comic even says that people even say that to him. And I'm like.
Or her.
Dougie, the only thing that I... the only thing.
Hey, by the way, good announcement. Brian, Captain Brian from Off the Hook Comedy Club just mentioned that he's gonna be a sponsor here on the show. He says that we're gonna sponsor his new vodka, Captain Brian Vodka and Rum, is a new drink sponsor. So thank you.
Very nice.
I'll get a check in the mail, Captain Brian.
Like a bottle.
And I was gonna say Tony Kornheiser always says, I listen to the show all the time. He says, send me a box of that.
Yeah.
So send us a box of that, Brian.
We'll definitely talk about it. Yeah. He's a good dude. Of course. So we were just saying. So yeah, that happened. But everybody does that. Like, you know, like I laugh because I worked with Jim Florentine for a while there, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, I'm talking like him, like, hey, how's it going, buddy?
But it's different from like when you're hanging out with someone, or you just sit at home and watch their special on Netflix over and over again until you just pick up their voice.
Here's the only thing I've ever said.
You naturally, like, even like me when I first, like Lenny Travis, my buddy, you know, when Frank Del Pizzo would sit there and say to me, he'd go, he goes, you know what, dude? I hear Lenny in you so much. I said, because he was the guy when I started.
But I think the difference is, like, the only thing I ever say to anybody, and I'm new too, but I always say, just figure out who you are, what you want your voice to be on there, because it's gonna come off as disingenuous if you're doing somebody else.
Here's what I think. I think that's gonna happen as a natural progression. That's gonna naturally happen, and people like, you know, like our own Ethan Moore. And the first time I saw him, I thought he was doing a Norm Macdonald impression. You know what I mean? Because he was like, hey, what's up with that heroin? You know? And you know.
But that's
what
how he talks off stage too.
But I mean, but you know what I mean? But it was just a natural. It's like a natural. So right. I talked about. I even said to him, I said, dude, I hear, you know, you must like the guy. He said, of course. So, but and there was one comic. I'll ask you after the show. But he even says that. I've heard him say, like, people think I'm sound just like so and so. I'm like, yeah, you kind of, the timing and everything is the same.
Yeah, if you impersonate them.
Well, okay, you know. And
then the show's over. Let's talk.
Listen. But yeah, I don't know. Eventually, what'll happen, and you can't just tell somebody, finding your voice in comedy is just something that happens.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can't even tell. Like, I'm in my 11th year now. It was probably around, it just was in the last year or two, where I said, okay, I'm now I feel like I'm just saying funny things.
Right.
You know, I'm just going up on fucking stage and doing what I want to do. I'm not even looking at my list anymore. I'm just going, whatever. I'm going to go do it.
Right.
You know?
Well, also, keep on moving away. It's not even just like finding your voice. It's just like, what is your opinion? What is your strong opinion on stuff? And your voice will come with it almost. And people think it's like, I have to find a literal voice. Ursula stealing from The Little Mermaid. Like, it's like, no, just be yourself and also have ideas that you feel strongly about.
That's what your voice is. That's like, again, I mentioned this on the show, but Rich Voss mentioned to me, he goes, listen, you're funny. The first time I worked with him, by the way, at Cap Brian at Off the Hook years ago, they were on Marco Island. I said, he says to me, he goes, dude, you're a funny guy. You're likable. You know, that's the important stuff. He goes, but 5 years from now, you're going to be telling completely different jokes. Because you're not going to be telling jokes. You're going to be saying things that are funny. That's you saying it. You know, you're talking about this or that. By the way, Mikey Cintron, how do you feel about amateur comics teaching comedy classes? I don't think that's good. Like, I would.
I taught a comedy class. It feels a very personal question for me, and you know, for people that never ever ever did comedy, even someone that has 2 years experience is more than someone that doesn't.
Well, I don't know if I would to answer your question, Mike. Who's qualified to teach a comedy class?
Well, that's
when you,
right.
There's a difference when you say qualified to teach. That means you're putting the curriculum together. That means you're putting the study stuff together, the outline of whatever the courses you're going to teach. Now, I would have no problem with having, if I'm teaching a course, let's say, and I wanted to get somebody's fresh perspective of getting somebody who's been in it for 2 years. Yeah. Okay, hey, why don't you share with the class some of the challenges and shit you've been through? You know what I mean? Right. Yeah, like when I first started, I thought everything I figured out was incredible. And I told everybody, like, hey, you know, and we're like, yeah, we know, dumbass. We figured it out ourselves. Right, yeah. You know, like the 2 year rule, like things you find out in the 2 years. That'd be a fun part of a comedy class. Like the things in the first 2 years you'll probably find out and you probably wish you didn't share with everybody.
Yeah.
Because everybody does the same thing you know, but I have things against people teaching comedy classes that haven't written a new joke in fucking 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I mean, again, that's something where you have somebody that's they got the skills to put an outline together, and then you know, sometimes to teach a class, if you can't do it, you got to teach it, right?
Yeah.
If you can't play it, you coach it.
Right. There. Listen. There's It depends what you're getting. Are you teaching someone? What is the goal of the class, right? At the end of the day, if you're teaching, the hardest thing to teach somebody is to get the balls to get up on stage and actually try and do it.
And to,
right?
It was a lot, yeah.
But do you have the ability? I definitely, and I'm about a little, just under or just over 3 years into doing it. But in terms of like teaching someone how to write joke structure, I don't know how to do that. That's not, and by the way, I might never, because it might not be my way.
And it's the whole thing about the idea of teachers. Listen, I'm not a teacher and you're the student. It's more like, hey, I'm an acquaintance. You know, I'm a peer.
Listen,
I'll share you with you my notes.
I can absolutely teach people about public speaking and how to get through things and how to enunciate and all that. I'm qualified to do that. But in terms of what I say, hey, this is going to be a stand-up comedy class. No, I'm in my
11th year now, so I would teach a beginner class, mm-hmm. right? And I wouldn't mind teaching certain parts of like an intermediate class, like how to get booked. Like I could definitely add value in how to get booked, you know,
right.
you know, and things to do. Yeah. You know, so and there's things, but you know, I don't know. The comedy class. Yeah. You have to be somebody who's done it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be somebody who's been through it. You have to have somebody at least, you know, I don't want to learn how to do archery from somebody who doesn't even know how to fucking put a bow and an arrow together.
Sure.
You know what I
mean?
So again, they read a book.
And again, I taught people that have never, ever, ever done comedy. And it was mostly like, here, I've done this for 3 years. I don't know everything. I'm not even close. But here, this is what I know. And I don't know the right way to structure a joke, but I have written jokes. So this is my take on it. And I even told them, hey, go do the, I think Comedy Cure is doing a class. I was like, if you want more, go do that. And that's what these people needed, like permission to go on stage. And
no, I can see that. Again, it completely mm-hmm. depends on what is the goal. Would I go take a class from someone who's been doing comedy for 3 or 4 years and they said, hey, at the end of this, you're going to have a 45-minute set and be able to headline Caroline's?
I would have
some concerns about that. Right. If someone said, hey, we're going to teach you, I would much, you said tomorrow you're going to teach a class on how to get booked, and I'm doing you know, okay with it, but that kind of stuff is important. I would have no idea how
would
to begin
I would,
to
I would
do
rather
that
do
kind
that.
Of stuff.
I would do stuff like that. I wouldn't mind that's saying, hey, you know
class.
What I'm going to do on Sunday at Tavolino's? I'm going to teach a class on opening a show. I'm going to teach a class on hosting. I'm going to teach a class on getting booked. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? They're like, here's parts.
Absolutely.
Of like, you know, like when I study for my CFP, which I never took, but I teach CE to CFPs, which is always, I'm not even a CFP and I teach CE.
Exactly.
So, you know, they were all modules. You know, everything had its own, like, okay, this is asset gathering, protection, blah, blah, blah. So it's on the comedy. It's the same thing. Joke writing, getting booked, I don't know, all kinds of different shit. But, I asked Mikey there, by the way, but Mark Pecoroni says, this show is my comedy class. Well, I guess I don't know.
That's why he's not getting booked.
Unfortunately, Mark's not getting booked anywhere this weekend. Whew. But that kind of stuff. Jay Hu says, that's the seminar we need, how to get paid gigs, not comedy from people that have no material.
There's a lot of anger going on in the comedy world that I'm not sure about.
Well, we were talking about that yesterday on the show. Like, how's the status of Randy Vago's here? We're talking about how's the current status of the Florida comedy scene, which, hey, it's there. You know what I mean? You make of it what you want.
There's plenty of opportunity.
Every fucking scene has an asshole, a dipshit, a know-it-all, a great person, a heart. You know, everybody has their fucking cluster people in that. Everybody has their own sweat hogs. You know what I mean? Every institute. So I think it's fine. I'll go on when I get back in the beginning of the year. I'll think about having a class. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do an outline. And I may just say, you know what, guys, come by. We're going to do an hour and a half. I'm going to give you guys. There you go, Jay. I'll talk to you guys how to get booked. Right. And you guys already know what's number one. You want to get booked. What's the first thing I'm going to tell you? What have you got?
You got a website, a headshot,
a business card.
A way to communicate
to
people.
The guy sends me a headshot. It's him standing next to his palm tree outside.
Right.
What the fuck
is that?
It's
a mirror selfie.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Have a headshot.
And a video is not you standing in your bathroom doing it in the mirror. It's a video of you doing comedy.
And it can't be a video. It can't be a video of your girlfriend holding the fucking iPhone while you're and she's laughing. Oh, he's so funny. He's so funny. And that's all you hear on the video is your girlfriend all excited for you. So yeah, you know, Jay, I'll do that. I'll consider that, buddy. Hey, speaking of things,
it's not
going to
be free. I'm Dougie's agent. Relax, everybody.
Yeah, he's my
Relax.
Jewish agent.
I'm his Jewish agent.
Let's talk about something. What would be a fair price? All right. By the way, Mike says I don't mean any disrespect. Was just curious on your take on the topic, Dougie. I got you, buddy. We talked about it, Mike. Yeah. That's why. You know, listen. If anybody whoever sits there and goes, well, fuck, what do you know? Fuck you. Then you have an issue with yourself. You know, I'm not going to say the first question about comedy class. People are like, is it even right to have a comedy class? Yeah, because there's all kinds of people that need, like, there's like acting classes. When I started taking acting classes, there was attorneys in there. They're trying to worry about their trial. There were just people that needed to be more outgoing. Their psychologist said, you know, you're too introverted. Maybe you should take break out of the box. It could be therapeutic for a lot of people.
Everybody on earth should take a public speaking class. Now, everybody on earth should take an improv class.
Now, here's what you shouldn't do. If you take a fucking comedy class, don't change your name to comedian Susan Smith. On fucking Facebook.
Well, there's a lot of technicalities that come with doing comedy. Like, it's not just, you can't teach funny, but you can teach, okay, so you need to be writing all the time, and you need to be going to mics, you need to this, you need to that, and how to handle a mic. A lot of, some of the people that were in my
class. The first thing that anybody, if no one's ever done comedy, the first thing I do is learn how to get on stage and, like you just said, just getting up there
and speak. Yeah.
And have something to say.
Exactly. Like, one of the first exercises I did with the students is just go on stage, just, like,
Kegels?
Tell me about your day. Just
Kegels.
Kegels.
I call them Kegels.
Kegels.
You can go to Noam's comedy class. It opens with Kegels.
See, if you go to my
go on stage and
you
do
them.
If you
go on my class, it comes with bagels.
Yeah.
Not Kegels.
And mine comes with hot dogs. Anyway, so but that's it. That's the first lesson. Yeah. Beginning comedy, hey, just getting up there. What if I'm not funny? Well, you probably won't be. That's not, you know.
I can't help you there.
Yeah. if somebody's going to teach me fucking pole vaulting.
I always wonder about the comedy classes, by the way. I've not done one, do people take comedy classes that aren't sure if they're funny? I don't know. You taught one. I'm going to ask Panzeca that because I know he does one too. And I'm like, what? Like,
everybody came in with the idea that, oh, well, I think I'm funny. I think I should be a comedy writer. Da, 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 da. I have all these funny ideas. I don't know how to make them into jokes.
Right.
And it's just about, okay, this is a writing exercise I use. This is another one. And
part I don't have any idea. Like, if someone came in and said, I have all these ideas, I might know how to. That's why when people say, like, oh, you can use that, I go, well,
right.
That's the whole idea about being a coach. It's one thing to be a coach and a teacher. You know, to be able, you know, that's a skill. Like I said, you don't have to. You may not have been able to. You may not have written a joke in a year or two, but you may be that kind of muse where you can recognize it.
You
instruct
to,
somebody how to do it just because you never do it. There's a lot of people that can't do shit for themselves, but the minute they're in service,
the minute they're asked opinions.
By the way, Mike Cintron says I want to take Danny's class just for the bagels.
Yeah.
all right. So
do you have to provide your own cream cheese, or is it cheese included?
Oh, you gotta have.
You think I'm gonna let a guy named Mike Angelo pick the cream cheese?
Is it Mike Angelo or is it Mike Cintron? What's going on?
I don't know. I like calling him Michelangelo because his name is Michelangelo, and you figure Michelangelo is probably a tiny guy to fit in that little. And that's Mike. I like that. I love that.
So anyway, comedy classes.
I love you, Mike.
They should be doing it. Let them do it. Here's what's really important.
Let people enjoy things.
We talked about this yesterday on the show. There comes a day where everybody who's trying to do comedy. Everybody does it. Like, they have to ask themselves, where am I going? Like, what am I doing? Like, you know, like, I asked myself that in the last couple of years. I go, where have I, and then the 10-year mark, and one of my mentors said, you're moving great. You got this, you got that. So, you know, if you weren't getting booked, if places weren't having you back, you know, then you should start asking yourself, what's next? You know, do I have to change myself, or is this even what I'm doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's a self-check, right? A reality check. So there's a lot of people in comedy, they should always have a reality check. If you go on stage and people aren't laughing, then after a while, you fucking maybe should start karaoke or something, you know? Like, take a new fucking hobby. Like, that's, you know.
You're right, though. Yes.
Try something else. This wasn't it. That's like in fighting, in martial arts. There's always these people that say, oh, I want to be a fighter. You know, I want to learn how to fight. And then they get in. There's no way in fucking hell this person's ever going to be a fighter. Right. Like, you should buy a gun. That's what I tell you. You should buy a gun. You'll never, and that's the problem. This person never has the mentality to be a fighter. They'd shake when they try to. Just certain people just don't have it.
They always say everybody's a tough guy until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, that's Michael. What's Mike?
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson. Anybody's fucking tough until they get punched in the face.
And he's right.
And I listen, all my fights I've ever been in, I can tell you that right now on both ends. I've been in a situation where I've hit somebody and I felt like, I fucking rocked them with a kick and they were still like, you know, I'm like, oh, right away. You know, I'm like, oh, this is fuck. And I've had that same thing happen to me where people hit me and kick me and I'm sitting there smiling. They're going, oh, I saw that look on people's face where they went, fuck. You know, like, what did I get myself into here?
It's the truest, by the way, because now, obviously, you were a competitive fighter, but I was a little, I got into fights as a kid. I got into a bunch of fights. And it is the truth. There are people that are, it is, everybody's a tough guy to get punched in the face. You either realize, okay, everybody gets hurt. I realized early, everybody gets hurt in a fight, so fuck it. Let's just go.
How bad could it be?
Right. I'm like, listen, we're both going to feel pain tomorrow, but I'm going to.
I always laugh when somebody, you're sitting there, somebody's scared. Like, you could tell they're nervous about fighting because they're worried about getting hit. And I remember when I was even in high school, whatever, as a kid, I'd go, well, I got hit about 82 times this week in training.
Bring it on.
You know, I got punched by the best, and I'm going to worry about this fucker.
Right, exactly.
All right. So speaking about looking forward, I wanted to cover this today, but $1.6 billion in the Mega Million lottery. This is the big talk of the town. And you know what? I fucking bought 10 Quick Pick Lotto, 10 Quick Pick Mega Million, and 10 Powerball.
You know, it's a 1 in 86 trillion that you could win both.
Could happen.
There's a chance.
That's why, listen, I even had that weird conversation with the guy behind the counter. I go, you know what? If I win, you guys win. You know what I'm saying? The guy's like, yeah, we get like 10 grand. I'm like, well, good for you. You know what I mean? But, so you guys start looking at me. Remember my fucking face. You know, the problem with that whole concept, that's a fucking lot of money. Now, did anybody say it's going to be worth maybe $900 million net if you just took it up front?
People say it like it's a bad thing.
No, it's like set.
It's just $900 million.
Just $900 million. I think it's around, it's somewhere between 750 and 850 is what you're going to end up with after. But that's the taxes paid.
Yeah, let's call it 800 million. I thought about this. I thought, would I quit my job? And
you're not doing comedy.
No. Why would I quit my financial planning? And here's the thing. Since I was 21 years old, 22 years old, I've woken up to the fear and concerns of the markets, the global interest rates. Every fucking day I wake up and my happiness is predicated on the fucking rest of the world. And I'm at that point where, you know what? It'd be nice to say, everybody, hey, I'm done. Guess what? I'm going to manage my own goddamn money, right? I'm going to get up every morning.
But you
I'm going to be my biggest client.
But you don't have to even manage that much money.
You just have to like get in $100 bills and fill your bathtub with it.
But that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you couldn't spend that.
I don't know. Just the freedom. Well, of not worrying. Listen, that's the bottom line. Just the freedom of not worrying about money, you know, or not worrying about anything. Would I open a comedy school? Would I hire Noam as my karate school instructor?
Yeah.
My comedy school instructor.
A comedy and kickboxing.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to have a comedy kickboxing class. For every fucking bad joke, you get kicked in the head. Not a bad...
Of course. Listen, that's check out money. But the truth is look, what do billionaires do, right? You invest in other businesses. Mark Cuban. Look at a guy like Mark Cuban, right? Because there's a guy that's enjoying being a billionaire, right?
Right.
And he's... You might decide that you're going to take, you know, $500 million and buy this.
But there's a big difference in having it that long and all of a sudden having it.
No. Of course.
You know what I mean? Like,
so you would definitely... there's no doubt. Anybody who says they would not check out of what they're doing on an everyday basis to earn a living, everybody would.
I think the first thing I would do, I could tell you this, is I would... Everything I had scheduled... Like comedy, I'd have, you know, I wouldn't want to break anything, but I would basically say the next month or two.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just not. You know what I mean?
I don't give a shit
anything about anybody. You know what I mean?
And I think actually over the weekend there was like two or three $1 million winners.
Somebody won $2 million. Wait, no, Glades and 441,
which
is right where I live.
Yeah.
Somebody won $2 million.
Was it you? And you're just not saying?
Yeah, you're just like all incognito.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. You stopped bringing us fucking coffee. Now you started again. So maybe you got some coin.
Yeah, I got some. He's got some shekels.
That's all you got at Starbucks?
Yeah, exactly. That was my big splurge.
You should be buying me the coffee that the monkey shit out.
Exactly.
All right. You won the lottery.
There's nobody. If you win that kind of money, I don't care who you are. You're not. Everybody is checking out of what they do every day for their pressure, right? Right. My wife's an eye doctor. She's not, she might still do something, right, to be busy, but she's checking out of the everyday life.
Just open a comedy club. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I would just open a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's it.
Broward is dying for some comedy
clubs.
Yeah.
Well, there's some things happening I can't talk about right now, but there's some. It's not because it's thinking. It's still in the process. Right. You know what I mean? And but there's some work going on of some new stuff opening up. All right, we talked about this briefly. To open the show, we talked about this immigrant caravan that's heading to the United States.
He's ready to go.
Like, all right. So here's the thing. We now, as American citizens, we are going to be judged. Because this is what happened when they came and people were taking away the kids and everything. So now we as human beings, and our character is going to be judged in the United States, is how we handle or can ask us. If anybody says, well, how do you feel about what's going on? So I'm going to, because I'm the show host, yep. I'm going to ask you guys, and you're the newest. So what's your, you know, more or less your brass facts, whatever.
I'm going to let Danny go first because I really feel like I need to hear what he has to say.
Okay, so here's my thing. I live in my neighborhood. There's at least five or six families close with that are from other countries,
right,
getting here the legal way. They're doing the right thing. One of my closest friends. Okay, so there are ways to get to come into this country legally,
right?
So that's one. Two, I do not see how anybody. I am not. I'm going to say it because you have to say it every time. But I am not right or left. I'm neither. I am neither. I literally am. I have things on both sides.
It shouldn't matter if you're Republican or conservative. At this point, how are you handling a situation?
You can't just allow people to just come. There's no other country. You can't just go to Canada. Everybody who said when Trump got elected they were moving to Canada, you weren't just moving to Canada. You're not just moving to Mexico. Right. You're not going to Australia. You're not. You have to prove that you can financially be not a burden. I don't understand how anybody thinks that it's okay to just let thousands of walk into
my,
the country.
My thought to that subject is when you complain because you're not getting enough Social Security, when you complain because you're not getting enough disability insurance, when you complain because you're not getting enough money because you're flood, you know, when you complain about these government assistance programs and you're willing to let anybody from the rest of the world come into this country and have some piece of that, then you're ignorant. No one's saying that. No, but listen, when if I see a puppy on the street, I was the kid that would take the puppy home. You know, Mom, look, I found this dog. Guess what? We had a new dog.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't want to hear about, oh, you don't give a fuck about life. No, I do. Okay? But the difference between a puppy on the street, some fucking schmuck left this dog in the neighborhood so somebody else could take because they want to take care of him. This is not people that are leaving their countries and, you know, from Honduras that have been there, and they're this is all happening. They're all motivated on this concept because it's a whole concept behind it to come here and now. So, what do you? All right. So,
You can't.
My family sponsored my wife's family, Cambodian family, to come here. There's a process.
You shouldn't have to make.
And now
any
you people
kind of
are going to cut you in the fucking line and go here. I'm here in this country.
How are we supposed to take care? You supposed to take care of all? How are we? Let's just say that we should have universal health care or whatever. How are we supposed to just continue to take care of people who we don't know anything about? You have to. There's a way to do it.
World. Liberals would tell you that these people will come in, they'll acclimate to people that they have and friends here, and they'll live. Which who knows? What do you think?
You know, it's hard because I agree with what you're saying. Like, where are we gonna put everybody? Da, da, da. I immigrated here, and we were gonna initially actually do it illegally because the process of immigration is so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eventually we got a work visa. And eventually, you know, once we got here, we somehow got on the fast track for a green card. But
somehow. Now, you had to have some sort, like he said, there's a value. So somebody in the immigration department said, look at this family. You know what I mean? We want to get them. There's no, they're not, you know, they have their own shit going on. You know, let's get them in there. Not, oh, these people are here. They got a broomstick and a fucking.
Listen, my wife's cousins moved to Australia about 15 years ago, right? They had to prove that they were not going to be a financial burden on the country. And by the way,
they had
to show a business plan.
They had to come there and say, what's your plan? Why are you here?
I'm all for letting people be citizens, letting people work hard and all that stuff, right? Guess what? They have been very financially beneficial to the country of Australia. They will never be citizens. They will never get they will never get government benefits. They're not allowed to. Why is that okay there? But here, we're supposed to just let everybody just
because we're
run
America.
In.
Because we're America. That's
so maybe we let more people in. But the point is you're not going to... Everybody talks about Norway. It's the greatest place in the world. You can't just go to Norway
What I think needs to be done is people that are coming from hardship. Like, they have children and they cannot make it where they are for whatever reason, whether it's political hardship or there's, you know, no food. Yes,
but there's food in Honduras. There's food in these
places.
But
what I'm saying is,
they're running away.
You know,
from
there's stuff we could use manpower here for stuff. So yes, bring them in. But okay, this is your job now. You are delegated job, and you have to practice it.
Okay, I agree. Of course, I think you should.
I think it's very idealistic what I just said. But
I think that they have a special secondary category of a citizen. Like, if these people that come here just to be human, to let people survive and get the fuck out of the shitholes they're at. All right, we're going to give you citizenship. But you're going to get like a Class B citizenship, which means you don't get Social Security. That means you don't get That means you don't get any type of Medicare benefits.
That's not
going
to be acceptable to everybody.
Well, that's the
problem.
Because I don't want veterans. I don't want people that are currently on our poor. Like, you know, when this shit happened a few months back with the fucking all these kids that were taken by their parents, I'm like, what about the 2.5 million homeless kids in the fucking street? Why am I, you know, they're on the street. There's kids that are coming here from Honduras and Central America that are in some fucking building. Yeah, it's got a gate around it, but they're fucking, they got a towel, they got food, they got air conditioning.
Run down to the VA, okay? My dad goes to the VA for treatments for stuff. Go down to the VA and think we're not taking care of ourselves enough. So just be, and I get it. We do need to do for other people.
But my question about the kids is like, why couldn't they detain the families together? It was a form of
who knows. But the problem
I'll tell you this: is they talked. The main thing that the side is that it was a deterrent. Like, in other words, that's the way it's always been on the books.
That's pretty barbaric.
But
it's not a Trump thing. He didn't do it. They've been doing it.
I'm not saying it's a Trump thing.
It might be wrong. So we got to look at...
The reason the law was written is because these are people that are coming illegally. So, and a lot of times it was written too because these people are coming, you don't know, they have no documentation that these are even their kids. So how do we know they didn't kidnap these kids and they buried the parents somewhere in Honduras and they brought the kids with them so they can get they can look like a family coming to this country?
What if I steal a bunch of money and I go to jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dougie, what if you turns out you're doing a Ponzi scheme, right? And you go to jail. Are you going to see your wife? You're going to be separated from your wife and kid. You're doing something illegal. Those people came here illegally. There's rules.
I agree with you, but the kids remain. This is more traumatic for the kids.
I got it. I know.
Listen, it's a deterrent.
Listen, if you're gonna handle this as becoming an issue, the places that the detention areas these people are taking in, don't separate them. Put them all together.
That's fine.
But
put
cameras on them. Put fucking audio on them. Get everything on there so we hear everything, and everybody can then you can get a better idea of who these fucking people are, and then let's find out what their real game plan is.
By the way, it's very interesting that the people marching away from Honduras are waving Honduran flags.
Yeah,
isn't that weird? Just on a purely from a comedian standpoint, I find that very funny.
Mm-hmm.
If I was running away from the United States because it was so horrible,
I'd
waving
have American
a different
flag. I'd have an American flag in my hand. The only reason they're doing that is because they want to say this is where we're coming from. Yeah. It's like a tag. Anyway, why not cover it because we're on the show today. The last thing that I wanted to open the show with was a discussion on parents are outraged after a drag queen speaks at a school at a career day. So let's say your kid comes home and says, Dad, a drag queen was at the school telling us about, you know, his career or her career. How'd you feel about that, Dad?
Well, I was at dinner Sunday night with another couple and was sitting right across from my son when I told them that, you know, Dr. Anna Lepre, the dunce, she's a comedian. She does the beard.
Right.
She does a drag show down here, and I couldn't do it this time, but she asked me if I would do it, and I'm totally into it. So here's...
You're going to dress in drag?
Yeah, and I'm just going to do my comedy set.
God.
I don't have kids, but I'm with Danny on
this. No. So here's you want the real answer? Does that person make a... First off, is their kid in the school? I think career day, you have to have a kid in the school.
Yeah.
If mom or dad makes a living doing that, my son's going to come home and go, hey, this is what happened. I'm going to go, all right.
I've only been a stepdad, but here's the first thing I would think to ask based on just communications. Really, son? What happened? How'd you feel? What happened? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
What'd you learn from it?
Right.
You know, what'd you get out of it? Well, it was weird. You know, whatever. What am I going to say? That's the thing. And a lot of people, I read a story like this, my first thing is like, well, people just want to be outraged
first
about
off,
shit.
People,
you know,
nobody's outraged.
You know, why not sit and talk to the kid? What'd you find out? Was it interesting? Did it look like a chick? You know, would you have fucked her?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you know, listen, this is a good. I'm glad you learned this, son, because sometimes you're going to be older. You're going to go to South Beach one
right,
day.
When you go.
And this girl, this really attractive looking woman, is going to be hitting on you. She's going to be kind of tall, and you're going to be like, why is this lady hitting on me? She's so hot, and I'm not. And then the next thing you know, when you got her balls in your face, well,
right,
that's what it was.
Right, exactly.
So glad that
See, I think this person did a public service announcement for the future.
So there you go. We covered all that in the show opening. What do you think? Anyway, it's time.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. And we still have a typewriter.
I still love that.
It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of them. You can tell us if you believe them. Man stoned to death by monkeys.
Wow.
A 72-year-old Indian man has reportedly been stoned to death by a group of monkeys coming over and getting high with them. No, yeah.
I have so many questions.
While out collecting wood, the victim's brother said the monkeys threw more than 20 bricks at the man, who later died in the hospital from head injuries and chest injuries sustained in the attack.
Was it their wood? I mean, so obviously the monkeys felt like it was their wood.
I was watching, I think it was Planet Earth, and there's the show, like the monkeys in some part of India are such little assholes.
Yeah.
Like, they'll steal your shit and be like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. That, like, in Gibraltar, where my family's from, they have these smart monkeys. They're considered the smartest monkeys in the world because they wipe their ass with leaves. And I don't know if that's a level of intelligence, but
is that why they consider them the smartest monkeys in the world? I feel like there might have been something else before that, Dougie.
Well, they scored high in the fucking LSATs. And their SATs.
I love men. We
so,
say things.
You know what I mean? So, but the monkeys right, would come down, like you said, they'd walk and take your camera. They'd walk and take your they would just steal shit. You know, you don't think monkeys are evolving within their own, like they're getting smarter and smarter.
They see the same people on the cruise ships come off all the time. And they go, okay, I'm going to, hey, by the way, you know me, my thoughts on man and nature, right? It's Darwin, baby. Those monkeys, it's, you know, survival of the fittest.
I thought you were going to say you'd have sex with an animal.
No. I mean, in my 20s, I partied a bit, so.
So who knows?
Exactly.
I'm not going to say anything, but I'm glad dogs can't talk.
Yeah.
here's a story. Rugby player finishes game despite smashed testicle.
Ooh.
I actually just had to swallow hard for that. I don't understand that. You got to be on something. Dude,
well,
if somebody
sometimes you've been injured, like I've had like a severely twisted ankle in a soccer game and it hurt and
Dougie,
then I didn't feel it till after.
Okay.
And then, you know.
All right. Hold on a second.
But a nut.
Dougie,
but a ruptured.
If someone grazes, Noam, you can sit this one out. If someone grazes your nut about 3 seconds later, you're on the ground. A crushed ball?
New Zealand rugby player Jonah Nerecki.
I mean, those guys are fucking crazy.
Has been praised by his teammates after finishing a game with an injury coaching staff have described as a smashed testicle.
Fuck now.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Ridiculous.
That's the medical term, too.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Whenever I hear smash, I can picture like potatoes being like, you know, like mashed potatoes.
Well, you know that's what happened. It got like, stepped on.
Ruptured.
It exploded. Yeah.
His nut got stepped on by a cleat.
Well,
and he finished the game.
Maybe at that point you just don't feel it anymore.
That's what I'm saying. It's gone. It's like a zit.
No way.
Maybe it's like just
no.
It's over.
You might feel a little sensation, like it's like it's trying to go somewhere. You know, like tent, like your nut.
All I know
hanging
is
out.
All I know is if I ever win the lottery, I'm hiring that guy as my bodyguard because no one is gonna fuck with that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean that's it. He has nothing to lose at this point.
No, and he obviously can take any kind of pain.
Can you fix it? That's the real question. What are you going to do? They're going to put it back together? We're going to put some fucking fix-a-flat in your nut?
Oh.
The Otago winger played for only on for 30 minutes after suffering the blow to ensure his teammates and team won against arch rivals Waikato. 23 points
Did
to
you get
19.
The game ball?
Yeah. I don't think it goes to any fucking surprise that we're going to give Jonah the game bow.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
That is fantastic. That's more of a man than I am easily.
But you're right. Sometimes you have injuries. Like, in my last Thai boxing match, my left, my left footed toe, my little toe, my left foot was hanging like a sausage link. Because so many times, you know what I mean? I'm so tired.
Sausages are I walked
into
pork.
Thank you.
She doesn't know what pork is.
Yeah, I forgot. Sausage. So I walked into the locker room and I sat there. I'm like exhausted. I started taking the wrap off my arm, my hands and shit. And I looked down on my fucking foot and I go, look, my toe just looked like it was like.
Did it hurt then when you did it? Because
it didn't hurt.
I got a piece of sheet metal through my hand, like halfway through my hand. No reaction at all because I didn't realize my friends, I was like nine, my friends were looking like stunned, totally stone faced. But yeah. I was covered in blood, but I didn't feel anything.
Well, you know, it's like sometimes, we wear heels and that shit hurts and it gets really, really painful, but you just have to like stick it through because in a second,
why? You got a pain threshold.
Yeah, it just doesn't hurt anymore.
Threshold, yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
That's the part, that's like anything.
Do you care about seriously, aside from them being like,
we don't do it
wearing army boots, do you care about a woman's shoes at all?
Oh, I get hard on a woman's shoes. I mean, you know what I mean?
You and Rex Ryan? You're a Rex Ryan kind of guy?
Yeah, lick of toes. My wife is my wife's like 5'8", so if she wore heels, I'm 5'9" myself.
Oh, little doggy.
Yeah, next thing you know, I feel like a little Jew boy. Hey.
Little doggy.
You know, so I got to get some fucking shoes like Kenneth Cole's with a little bit of
a little bit of a lift.
Yeah, a little lift. Hey, I can tell you what doesn't turn me on, cows. Teen forced to marry cow after he had sex with it.
What?
Where did this happen?
At Balinese.
Where?
See, I always say these aren't real stories, but that's another country. It could be real.
A teenager has been forced to marry a cow, and who hasn't? He was caught having sex with in a rice paddy.
That was really good.
Nagura Alit, 18 years old, reportedly passed out during the wedding ceremony. As per local tradition, to cleanse the village, the cow was drowned in the ocean, while Elite was ceremoniously bathed in the water, and his clothes were destroyed. So now he's married to
He's married to a dead cow?
No, they take it out like a christening, I guess, like a baptism. They put water, seawater all over the cow, and then he's got to go out there, and they take all his clothes.
So when he's at the barn, he's like, my wife's a fucking cow.
Yeah.
And somebody says mine, too. Yeah, he's like, no.
No, mine is literally.
My wife is pretty big, too. No, you don't understand. No. My wife is a cow. Like, moo, moo. Yeah, I get it, man. My wife is big. No, you don't understand. I can milk her. Yeah, my wife, too.
She's a baby.
You don't understand. My wife has four legs. Oh, okay, you got me there.
And he can share his wife with his friends, just,
Yeah.
Having the guys over for a few steaks.
Hey, guys, we're going to share my wife. Porterhouse is for everybody.
Eating out his wife is a totally different meaning. Sorry. I know, that was gross.
It's disgusting.
It was gross. I know.
I mean, you gotta talk about cunnilingus.
I know. Ew. Sometimes the real words are way grosser.
It's fellatio.
It's such a gross word.
I just want to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of gross real. Thank you. I'm glad that you agree with that, Noam.
I do. There's a lot of words. It's like I don't want to know that.
Right.
Yeah, cunnilingus. Cunnilingus sounds like something you get when you drink out of a rusty can.
Yeah.
A Belgian mechanic accidentally destroys a $22 million fighter jet.
Oops.
Yeah. I went to one of these Jiffy Lube places years ago, and the asshole forgot to put the fucking thing on, and my engine almost burned.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I walked in there, and the guy was in there. I was like, you fucking idiot. And the guy was like, what?
Oh, my God.
Belgian mechanic accidentally destroys $22 million fighter jet. Says here, a Belgian Air Force mechanic was mistakenly opened fire on an F-16 fighter jet while performing routine maintenance on a similar aircraft.
Should they be loaded when the mechanic is in there, maybe?
The mechanic reportedly fired several rounds from 20-millimeter cannon, a Gatling cannon, capable of firing around 6,000 rounds per minute. Bullets about the size of
a
bowling pin.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, 6,000 rounds per minute, destroying the plane and damaging others parked nearby.
What? What does he say to his boss? Like seriously, when he seriously sits down.
My bad. My bad.
I mean, do you just Do you just accept that, like, that's it? You're definitely fucking fired?
Yeah, he's not fired. This is, no, he's not fired. There's no, you can't, he's a, this is a, he's in the military. So it's not like your job.
So, like, what do you gotta, there's military jail. There's, like, there has to be consequences.
Do you go, hey, man, I didn't think it was loaded?
Do you get demoted? Do you have to go back to boot camp?
I thought I was pressing the off button. Yeah, that's a bad one. I like these stories. They're short and sweet, by the way. I got a new area to go to. All right, our last story of the day. I'll give you guys a choice. Man strips naked to swim with sharks in an aquarium. Couple use stolen brain to get high. Man whose flatulence ended police interview pleads guilty. Or breathing through the nose boosts your memory. Don't worry about that one.
Nah, fuck that
one. Yeah.
Man swims naked with sharks. Couple use stolen brain to get high. Or man who flatulates.
Can I ask a question? Did the guy with the sharks die?
No.
All right, then he's out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the brain.
I want to know.
The brain?
Yeah.
Well, right. it involves getting high.
The flatulence doesn't surprise me. That could have been my dad easy.
Yeah, somebody gets a little nervous, starts farting in front of the cop. I'm sorry, but I'm just nervous. I can't help it.
It's like they get the gas mask out and just fall from the ceiling.
A couple use stolen brain to get high. Police in Pennsylvania are hunting for two people after a human brain in a jar of formaldehyde was discovered in a Walmart bag beneath the porch of a trailer home.
What?
How can you be smart enough to know that you can get high with a brain in formaldehyde and live in a trailer?
But be stupid enough to do it.
But how do people know that you can get high from doing that?
Well, I think it's just trial and error at this point. They're like, there's a thing we can try now.
If you remember on HBO, they had a series called 6 Feet Under. It was a good, the guy who was the killer.
Dexter. Yeah,
he was in that TV show.
I like that show.
Yeah, there's about a family had a mortuary or a funeral home.
Yeah, yeah.
The dad dies and shit, and he's
great
gay.
Show.
Dexter is gay in the movie.
Yes,
in the show. Yeah. But they had a scene where his sister, the little redhead, soaked the joint and they got really fucked up. But that's what they're saying here. They said the one man already arrested.
The brain? I get formaldehyde.
Well, it's the formaldehyde. They said the one man already arrested in connection with the stolen brain has admitted to visiting the premise to smoke marijuana that had been soaked in the liquid jar.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
So the poor brain just has to sit around while these fucking these podunk fucks are just sitting around. Can you imagine the brain still thinking like, oh, look at these fucking morons.
That's a good skit where the brain still can think. And he's like, look at these fucking idiots.
Yeah. If I only had one of their bodies.
Well, you know, one of the treatments for hair to straighten your hair is uses formaldehyde. And,
really?
Uh-huh. And it's like it's a big thing. I think it was actually illegal to do it still because the fumes would fuck people up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What salon do they do the set? Dougie and I'll be performing there.
I think it's illegal now, and then people do it out of their bedrooms. Like people just.
Oh, is that the hair straightening?
The hair straightening thing, like the permanent one.
Yeah, my sister-in-law once had like a party. Everybody was there for like 6 hours. I think my wife came home.
Well, my wife's a hairdresser.
I think she was high.
My wife's a hairdresser, and there's something called a Brazilian.
Right.
So like for women who have like very curly hair,
yeah,
it straightens their hair like straight hair. But the process, the smell is unbelievable. It's like
I bet that's
there's,
it.
There's like the salon she works at will not even let them do it there. Like if she wants to, like, she has clients that want to do it, she has to go to somebody else's salon.
Oh, so this must be what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no wonder my wife comes home all
the mother. Your
loopy.
Wife's always happy.
Honey, I'm hungry. Let's order pizza.
So hungry.
Whenever you do a Brazilian, you always want pizza.
So hungry.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank, of course, Danny the Jew for joining us today.
Thank you
for bringing the coffee. And our special guest co-host today, Noam Manger. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
We got a lot going on. I got some things to talk about. What you got going?
As always, DannyTheJew.com has all my stuff on there.
Check it out. Noam?
Noam Alaska on all social media. And also, I just released a documentary that I was in called The Conspiracy Libel. It's available on YouTube. Rebel Media is hosting it.
Cool. Nice. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night, going to be at the Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's. Steve Marshall is your headliner.
Oh, yeah.
Tiffany Barbie, very funnily, will be there as our feature. And we may, depending how things go tomorrow, Steve Marshall may be here tomorrow as well as Tiffany for a special broadcast tomorrow. And other than that, Thursday, I'm going to be at the Zanies in Rosemont, Illinois. I can't remember the Vic Chuk, somebody else, some other guy's fucking headlining. That doesn't
cares?
Matter.
Dougie's there.
But on Friday and Saturday, I'm there at Zanies Rosemont opening for Eric Griffin.
Oh,
Very funny comics. I'm looking forward to that. And then on Monday, everybody, no shows next week. 2 weeks off. I'm heading to Atlantis. So if you're going to Bahamas, I'm going to be performing at the Joker's Wild Comedy Club for the next 2 weeks, starting next week.
That's awesome.
On Tuesday, I believe. So we'll have some best stuff for you guys next week. Follow us at Dougie, Wake Up Late with Dougie, or Wake Up Dougie at Twitter, and on Instagram, Wake Up Dougie. Just find us there. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous as well. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and go to our main site, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, to podbean.com. All our shows, archive sites, join, be a patron. $1 a month, $2 a month. Donate money to us, for God's sakes. We appreciate it, guys.
We're worth it.
Yeah. Gas money for all the co-hosts that come in. That's what I try to do. In the meantime, thanks for watching, guys, and God bless. Guess what? We'll be back in a couple weeks. Right here at the same spot. Take care.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.